Last night the Taraweeh commenced with this ayat of the Quran Sharif. If we have to do the tafsir of this ayat, we can go on for the whole day. And night also we won't finish. There's so much Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has mentioned in just this one verse. That is the kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Nobody has been able to do justice to a tafsir of ayat of the Quran Sharif. It is a kalam of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and every time that a person ponders, reflects, meditates, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala opens new doors. Nevertheless, in the very short time that we have, we can just do the gist, just give you the meaning of what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is conveying to us. In fact, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being told. And through Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is the ummah. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all those things that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ordered him, in many places, even the Quranic verses, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nabi yuttaqillah, O Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, fear Allah. Now was there any doubt that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going to do anything that was displeasing to Allah Ta'ala? So it is for the ummat, it is for us to take lessons. So Allah Ta'ala says that, or just the gist of these verses, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that he must recite, make tilawat. Tilawat of what? The same ayat, the same verses of the Quran Sharif, which were being revealed to him. He must make tilawat of it. He must rehearse those verses. He must recite those verses. Al-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that he must recite of the verses which have been revealed to him of this book that is a Kitabullah, and establish salat, aqim as-salat. And Allah Ta'ala says, Inna as-salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. For verily salat, verily your namaz, it restrains you from everything that is shameless, indecent, and all kinds of sins. It restrains you from that. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is the greatest thing. Zikrullah is the greatest thing. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tasnaun, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows fully well what you are doing. Not just this one word tasnaun, there's so much of meaning to it. Nevertheless, so there are three things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was told. He must recite the verses, he must establish salat, and zikrullah, to invite towards the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Right from the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam until the day of Qiyamah. That is the usul, that is the principle. That the person will have to recite the verses of the Quran Sharif. We can quote many authors and people and books and everything else as a support for what we are calling towards. But a person cannot do without the Quran Sharif if he wants to invite towards the true deen of Allah Ta'ala. The true deen of Allah Ta'ala you will have to invite through the Quran Sharif. So therefore those people who are trying to direct and give guidance and find solutions to the problem of the Ummah, but they do not want to stick to the principles laid down in the Quran Sharif and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then they will never be able to give proper direction. The more they try to create unity, the more disunity will be created. Because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has said, وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. So we have to hold fast to the Quran Sharif. And then the explanation of the Quran Sharif will be the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the recitation of the Quran Sharif for da'wat and tabliq ila Allah is the first usul. Without that we cannot really give proper crystal clear da'wat. It will be a mixture. We must not mix up the da'wat towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala or the invitation towards the deen of Allah ta'ala with our own whims and fancies and desires, or make our own tabiyat, our own mizaj, our own temperament, our own nature into the deen of Allah ta'ala. This is what is happening, that we have certain inclinations, we have certain kind of ideas, we have certain kind of likings and dislikings, and then we make that into deen. Instead of finding out from the Quran Sharif what is deen, and then translating that into our lives. What we had to do is find out from the Quran Sharif and then translate that into our lives. Now we can go on, but let's discuss a little bit of the next part. So the first thing is that the person must propagate the message of the Quran Sharif. So it will begin with the recitation of the Quran Sharif. You cannot propagate it when there is no recitation of the Quran Sharif. And the recitation of the Quran Sharif covers all those aspects. There is no proper recitation without the implementation of that which is in those ayat. If the person is not applying it to his life, then we will say this is a deficiency in his recitation. We never heard of any companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he recited the Quran Sharif all his life. And that is all he did, that recited the Quran Sharif. We never heard of not one sahabi, one companion, that he just recited the Quran Sharif, but did not make amal on it, did not practice upon it. For them, every verse was for practice, or to take a lesson. And the second thing is that establish salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that aqimis salat, establish the salat, and iqamat is to make something stand straight. There must be no inclination towards this side or that side. There must be no bending. So we came on now. So what I was saying is that first of all it was the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, and the second thing was establishment of salat. So the establishment of salat, Allah Ta'ala says that it restrains a person from all that is fahsha and munkar. Fahsha are all those kind of actions and deeds which any person with a little bit of intelligence or little bit of sense in his head will consider it as obscene, shameless, indecent, whether he is a Muslim or he is a non-Muslim. So Allah Ta'ala says that the effect of the establishment of salat, when the person is going to establish salat in his life, he's going to make iqamat of salat, not just reading salat, not just performing salat. When there's going to be iqama of that salat, then Allah Ta'ala says that that will restrain the person from fahsha, and also munkara, all those things which Shariat has condemned or declared as sinful. Anything that Shariat, the Quran, the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, there is clear prohibition, then that is from munkar. So the person who is going to establish his salat, then Allah Ta'ala says that it prevents from indecent, shameless activities and all kinds of sins, it protects the person from. So the question then arises that there are millions of people around the globe who make salat. There are many like us who make salat. But we make salat and immediately after that we indulge in sins. Shameless, indecent, obscene activities in our lives. And yet salat was supposed to prevent. Hazrat Imran bin Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked this question. The same question he was asked. He said, what does inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar mean? He said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that person whose salat does not prevent him from shameless, indecent, obscene, haram, I'm giving explanation, if it does not prevent the person from that, فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ. Then it is as if that person hasn't made salat. Another sahabi states that the person whose salat does not prevent him from sins, does not stop him from haram activities, then that salat distances him more from Allah Ta'ala. That salat distances him more from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And many other ahadith of that nature we will find in the books of hadith. So what do they mean? They mean that if that person's salat is not preventing him, then it is not the fault of salat. It is not the fault of salat itself. It is the fault of this person that he has got great amount of deficiency. As much deficiency as there is in his salat, that much sins he is going to commit. Because that salat was supposed to make him fully conscious of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's presence. Whilst you are fasting, you can still walk about, you can talk. The person, you can go to the toilet. The person goes to sleep, but he's still fasting. The person is giving zakat, but he's also talking to the person. Where do you stay? How many children you have? And you're sure that you are deserving? So he can still talk and he's giving zakat too. When he's going for Hajj also, he's in Arafat, he's talking, he's walking, he's driving past, but he's in Arafat. And his Hajj is carrying on. But when it comes to Salat, Allahu Akbar, and everything dead stop, finish. After that, the person cannot walk, he cannot talk, he cannot drive, nothing. Everything is at a standstill. Now the person cannot eat, he cannot drink, he cannot go to the toilet, he cannot do anything. It shows that this Salat, that little while that he is in Salat, he was supposed to be fully conscious of the presence of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and that just as he is now standing in Salat, a day will come when he will have to stand before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and give an account of his actions and deeds. And when the person is making his Salat, he is communicating with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He is talking to Allah Ta'ala. When he is reciting, making tilawat of the Quran Sharif in his Salat, then it is talking to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Now imagine if a person is given an audience with the king, and whilst the king is talking to him, this person is talking to something else. His mind is not there at all. He is not even conscious of the fact that he is sitting in the court of a king, or he is sitting in the palace, and he is sitting in front of the king. And yet what are the kings of this world? Nothing. So now here in the presence of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, if he becomes fully conscious that my clothes must be clean, my body must be clean, the place on namaz I make must be clean. So when the person is going to be conscious 5 times a day of his cleanliness of his clothes, cleanliness of the place he is making salat, cleanliness of his body, then how much more concern he must be about the cleanliness and purification of his soul. What else is the purpose of all that? So if there is a weakness in a person's actions and deeds, and yet he is a 5-time namazi, then we must not run to conclusion and condemn the salat. It's a very dangerous statement that we make. Very, very dangerous statement. We say, look at this, that person. What is the sense of making salat? What is the sense of making salat? See what he's doing. He still steals, commits fraud, commits adultery, fornication, takes interest, and yet he's making 5 times salat. So we will say that there is nothing wrong with that salat. The salat will prevent him and stop him. But conditional that the person has to make that salat in the manner that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us to make salat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a sahabi came, quick he made his salat, and then he came to him to meet him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, irji' fa salli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back, make your salat, because you haven't made salat. So he went, made again, came back again. Again the same thing, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him, go, make your salat, for you haven't made salat. Came back again, the third time he went. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, how must I make my salat? Then he taught him how to make salat. So then he made his salat like that. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Make your salat as you see me performing. Again I refer you to those bayans that I have been giving, with regards to fasting, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a sunnat way of fasting also. So in the same way there is a sunnat way of making salat also. Now when the person will make salat of that kind, then it will definitely prevent him. The person's conscience will worry him. And he will think that just a little while ago I was in salat, I had folded my hands before my Allah, and I was reading the Quran Sharif, and I had bowed down, and I had done something that I will never do before any human being, and that is that I placed my head, my forehead in sajda. It is as if I placed it at the feet of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala does not have feet and hands like us, but it is as if. So if I humbled myself so much and I submitted myself so much, then how much must I submit myself in all other activities of my life? So inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. So all of us who have got weakness in our actions and our deeds and our dealings and our relationship with people, then we must see what is the condition of our salat. It shows that there is a great weakness in our salat. The imam will make short, man amma qawman falyukhaffif. But the person who is reading his individual salat, especially when he's alone and there's nobody watching, then that is where he must make an improvement, work hard. And when he will get that consciousness in salat, we can take qasams and tell you that that closeness that he will feel to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he will not feel in anything else except that sajda and dua. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless me and bless you and bless the ummah with iqamat of salat and with tilawat of the Quran Sharif, with the propagation of the message of the Quran Sharif and zikrullah. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. Akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.